Welcome back to the Running Wine Mom podcast. I'm your host, Samantha Slinsky, aka the Running Wine Mom. In this episode, we delve into the inspiring journey of Lindsay, one of the visionary forces behind Fortis and Haven, and also one of my first friends in college. Defined by strength and comfort, Fortis and Haven emerged from a deeply personal experience sparked by the challenges faced during her daughter Rylan's medical journey. From moments of vulnerability to the triumphs of resilience, Lindsay's entrepreneurial spirit blossomed as she sought to provide the seamless solution for families navigating the complexities of medical treatment. Join us today as we uncover the heartfelt story behind Fortis and Haven, a beacon of hope and comfort for individuals and families finding strength in their most trying times. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So to start each episode, we have our wine, and win of the week segment. This is where we share our favorite bottle of wine or drink, then about something that has been bothering us and celebrate our recent victory. So grab a glass, take a deep breath, and let's get started. What is your wine, W-I-N-E of the week?
Actually, I'm on a seltzer kick and I've been really enjoying the Stateside seltzers. Yes. So if you haven't heard of them, they are local to you, Sam, and me, and they're created in Philadelphia, PA, and one of my favorites is actually the black cherry, but I also highly enjoy the iced tea vodka mix. They're lower in carb, lower in sugar, and they don't give you a headache the next day.
Yes, and they are, they're so good in the summertime, too. I feel like they're just like the perfect drink.
So refreshing.
Yeah. So what is your W-H-I-N-E wine of the week?
Well, we're actually moving. And funny enough, you mentioned that we were first friends in college, which is hysterical because I'm moving to your hometown, which is crazy. Isn't that so ironic?
So funny.
So my wine with the WH is the stress of actually moving all of the things. And it's not just like me and my husband this time. It's with two kids and a dog. So these little people have so much stuff. And although that comes with a win of the week, and that is purging. Yes. So I got to purge and declutter and get rid of so much nonsense. Just things that we had hanging around the house. So if you know me, well, you know, that's a huge win in my book. I hate clutter. So
that's awesome. And I always like, we are hopefully in our forever home, but when I moved into it, I was literally living in a bedroom in my parents' house. And I'm like, how do people move like their entire homes? This is not something I ever want to do like ever again.
I'm not sure I will do it again.
Well, I hope not. I hope you love where you guys are because, you know, like we said, it's such a great area, the development you guys got into. So I think you'll love it.
Thank you. We're excited.
So I always like to ask my guests, what is one struggle that you have overcome leading to where you are now? And what is one thing you're most proud of in your life?
I don't know. This is a tough question, but I think I was always the kid that had to study or do research to get the good grades, you know, and I had to actually like do work and study. So I always wish I was that kid that could just sit in class and slide by.
Sorry.
However, fast forward, I think it's helped shape me into who I am now. And I'm big on just reading articles and doing research. And that probably explains why I almost went for a PhD, but then I got pregnant and put that on the back burner. What is one thing that I'm most proud of is actually there's two things. And I am most proud of my two kids. They are my world. And people say it when, you know, oh, you know, your kids are your world. They're going to be most proud of them. You don't really think about it until you actually do have kids and you're living it and you're able to see, I mean, you know, and the milestones and everything they do, not everything they do, but most of the things they do in terms of hitting the milestones makes you really, really proud. So
yeah,
you know, my pride and joy.
It's so cool to just see them be these like, well, first of all, you grow them and then they're like, they just need you to like keep them alive. Yes. And then all of a sudden they start developing these like personalities. You still have to keep them alive, but they have all this growth. And that is just something every day I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that it's so cool to watch you develop and grow. And it is, I feel like something that you don't understand until you kind of experience it.
It's amazing.
All right. So the Running Wine Mom, we start off with some fitness. How do you stay active?
So, like I said, I hate clutter, so I'm constantly cleaning and obviously chasing my kids because the youngest Aaron is almost one, so he's all over the place. But besides all of that, I do go to the gym about 4 or 5 days a week. That hasn't happened recently because of this whole move, a little chaotic. So I guess 4 to 5 days a week is pretty much how I stay active, is just going to the gym.
That's awesome. And how do you stay motivated to maintain your fitness routine?
So that's a good question. It's really just my mental outlet. And so since I had Aaron about a year ago, so it's going to be 1 in March. And then I went back, I was on maternity leave for about 6 months. I was still working out, and then I went back to work. But when I went back to work, it was difficult finding time to build in that routine again, now that you have 2 kids and now you're working full time. So I typically really like to go in the morning and then I come back and sign on for work for the day. But I think the hardest part is that I am remote, or I guess even being remote or in the office, is that you only get to see your kids for a few hours out of the day. So you might, an hour or two in the morning and then an hour or two at night before they go to bed. So you lose that time with them in the morning, on the nights, and on the weekends. So building into my day, being remotely makes that a little bit easier, that I can sneak out on my lunch break. So that's been super helpful. And also just taking a good tip from you and your social media, finding a gym where I can bring the kids to the gym. So I'm hoping
That
that keeps me motivated a
is,
little bit
yeah.
more.
It really, I probably have said it in like almost every episode, but like literally that is the biggest thing. And the other thing too, like with our gym, is that we have activities for the kids to do. So like I sign Willow up for something and then I might not like want to go to the gym, but I'm like, well, I have to go anyway because she's doing whatever, gymnastics or, dance or something like that. So yes, if you can find something with kids, club or something, it's really helpful.
Yeah, I love that for you.
What struggles do you have to stay healthy and fit?
My biggest struggle is carbs. Mama loves her carbs.
Same.
I overindulge, I'm sure.
It's okay. Can you talk about your relationship between mental health and physical fitness?
Sure. I think I have a pretty good mental health, physical fitness relationship. But it is huge for me. Like I said, that's my mental outlet. It's where I go. I release my stress. If I can get to the gym and just let it all out, leave it there, which I usually am pretty good at doing, then it makes a better place for me, for my family, for everybody around me at home, work. I mean, it doesn't always stay at the gym, so the gym usually helps take me off the ledge and just let it out. So I would
Love
say
that.
my relationship there is great because that is my outlet.
So important, especially in parenthood, to like get that release instead of, taking it out on maybe the kids or your husband. Getting it out in the gym, I think, is really a good at least channel for it. And then maybe they get a little bit of it.
Of course.
So let's get into parenthood. Can you tell us about your family?
Sure. So Ryan is my now husband. We met back in 2013. He might be listening to this and might be like, no, we met earlier. I think it was 2013. We started dating a few months later. Not sure if we ever made an official date when we started dating. So we just go off the day we met. But then we later got engaged, we got married. Of course, always dreamed of the family. And we first started getting our feet wet by getting a dog, because if I keep the dog alive, then we can keep kids alive. It was like a test. Because I can't keep a plant alive. So
Me neither, man. I can't.
and then we so we adopted our beagle Jack Russell mix. His name is Fletcher. So if you ask me, I just like the name. But if you ask Ryan, it's he's named after Fletcher Cox on the Eagles. I think it's just I just like the name. But anyway, when the time was right, we had our little Rylan, and she was born in 2019. Rylan is now 4 years old, and she's named after us. It's a combination of our names, Ryan
So
and
cool.
Lindsay. So we always said we wanted to have a big family, maybe 4 kids. I don't know. My brother has 4 kids now, so I might rethink that decision. However, we always said we wanted to have a big family, but unfortunately, God had different plans for us. We did struggle with secondary infertility, so we did the IVF process and did treatments for 2 years, and then we were blessed with our little miracle baby, Aaron. And Aaron gets his name because it means miraculous, so that's where Aaron comes from. Oh. And if we were blessed with another, I mean, we would be over the moon. But in the meantime, I'm loving my little family and the one daycare payment for right now.
Yeah, seriously. So for some, because some people might not know what secondary infertility is. Can you just give like a brief explanation of kind of what that means?
Sure. So secondary infertility is when you're able to conceive no problems the first time. And then you go to try again and you're not able to. There could be many reasons why, or it could just be unexplained, they say, where they don't know what the reason is. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, I mean, people talk a lot about, you know, infertility and with their first, and then I feel like it kind of, it's like you maybe with your first and your second, get pregnant real quickly or whatever. But I don't think a lot of people talk about you get pregnant easily with your first and then the second one. You're like, what, you know, the secondary infertility. So hopefully people who are out there that are listening to this know that it's, you know, not uncommon and it's something that hopefully will end in a miracle baby.
It is actually, as we went through the process, I learned more and more people that I knew had it. So mm-hmm. it's more common, I think, than people realize.
Yeah. So what were you least prepared for in parenthood?
Everything. As we all know, as parents, there is no manual. Well,
no.
Those who are parents, there is no manual for parenthood. So literally grabbing it by the horn, enjoying all the ups and downs it has to offer. But I think if I were to look back, I think Rylan's sickness was one of the scariest moments. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about that when we dive into Fortis and Haven. But yeah, that was probably one of the moments that I certainly was not expecting nor prepared for.
Right. Yeah, we will definitely talk about that in just a little bit. But first, I want to know what your parenting style is.
So I think Ryan and I are really good at staying on the same page. And I think staying on the same page is super important in parenting, in terms of mom and dad, whether you live together, you co-parent, whatever that situation is, being on the same page is super important. So we are by no means gentle parent. As a matter of fact, we do get told often how well behaved Rylan is, and my response is that's because I'm a mean parent.
Yeah.
But what we learned is to just talk to our kids, or I guess like Rylan at this point, because Aaron's a little too little right. to understand. So that means pulling her side, especially when we're in public, and getting down to her level and better understanding why did you do what you did. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, and then just listening to her reasoning and then explaining to her why it was not a good idea
or, yeah,
you know, whatever it was that she did. We've seen our family and friends all do that. No, right. Stop that. No. And it just doesn't seem to work. Mm-hmm. The action always happens again. So we legit just talk to her like she's an adult, and we have since she was like 2 years old. And then we just let her know that in some cases her feelings are valid, but that doesn't make it okay to do whatever you did. And we just talk about alternatives or solutions, especially now that she's 4, learning solutions or to problem solve. And what do we do in that situation? You know, you don't like Aaron taking your toy. What are we going to do about that? Because right. you crying is not going to get him not take the toy.
Yeah.
So that we talk through it like that. So it sounds like gentle parenting, but don't yeah. worry, we still have our moments. We still do a lot of screaming too.
Yeah. And that is, you know, I guess what, like, that is really the definition of gentle parenting, what you are talking about. And I think it does get lost in translation of like, you know, what there's different levels of like gentle and most people that gentle parent are really like passive parents kind of, because they're not really giving the consequences. But I posted a TikTok the other day about, like, you know, don't feel bad if you're not gentle parenting. Like, you know, I was just trying to make people feel like you don't have to conform. And like, people came for me in the comments. Like the one person was telling me how she felt that I was like a what did she say? Something about how I was promoting psychological damage to my students. And I was like, I didn't like promote abuse or anything. I just said, like, if you yell at your kids, it's okay. Like, we got
it's okay. Like, they'll get over it.
But anyway, I was like, okay, well, maybe that didn't go as planned. But yeah, I think everything you're doing and what you're saying, it is so important. And we do forget they're little humans. And, you know, when we get, when we mess up, we probably want someone to just talk to us, talk it through. So just doing that with your kids and having boundaries and consequences is just really important.
And yeah. I mean, yelling. She's four. So like now she's at the age where she's inquiring why. So when we tell her not to do something, we get the why. So that obviously probably started when she was two, the curious of, well, why am I not supposed to do that? You know?
Right.
So it's like, well, this is why if you jump on the couch, you're going to get hurt. Like, it's as simple as that. Instead of just saying, no, don't jump on the couch.
Yeah.
Like, just giving them that little bit of a why, I think.
Yeah.
It's just a game changer.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you. And I did read something somewhere where like, you should only say no in situations where it's like, you're going to get hurt. Like, no, don't do that if they're in imminent danger, because then no gets kind of lost on everything. So when you're just using other words, you're just saying, if you jump on the couch, you're going to get hurt. Then they make that connection, especially as they get older.
Yes, yes. But it's hard with their natural instinct to just be like, no.
Yeah, I know. I know. I totally agree. So what's one piece of advice that you would give other parents?
So from what I said earlier, being on the same page and how you reprimand your kid, and same page with, you know, your significant other spouse, I think if you send conflicting messages to your kid, you're going to get conflicting behavior because they just don't know
who to listen
or how to listen. So I think that's super important. I think it's also important as a parent not to have the mentality that your kid is never wrong. Just because if you always think that your kid never did anything wrong, then they're going to continue to have that bad behavior. So just reprimanding them in a way that you can talk to them when it's right. You don't have to do it all the time. If you have to scream here and there, that's what you have to do, but it's just not screaming at them all the time. I think most of all is just making them feel loved, making them feel cared about, giving them lots of hugs, attention, and the snuggles. I think, and that's all it takes to feel loved. It's free. It's not something you have to go by, you know? So just that's my best advice as a parent.
Yes. Lots of hugs and cuddles are the best part of parenthood, especially when it's a rough day.
And as they get older, it gets less and less. So
I know. I do all the time. I'm like, oh my God, one day. I was thinking about that tonight when I was putting Parker to bed. I'm like, oh my God, in 20 years, he's not going to want to cuddle with me. Like, no, really. I mean, I know that when he's 21, he's not going to want to cuddle with me on his glider, but I still get sad about it. All right. So let's move on to Fortison Haven. This is a visionary clothing line born from your experience, and it has a mission to find for strength and comfort for other families and for, you know, those who are going through different medical issues. So we're going to join us now to discover how Fortison Haven are revolutionizing the experience of medical treatment with their thoughtfully designed garments. So first, can you just elaborate on the journey that led you to the creation of Fortison Haven, starting maybe with Rylan's diagnosis and the inception of your clothing line?
Yeah, so this all transpired. Rylan was diagnosed at 4 months old with kidney reflux. Kidney reflux, her uterus going from her bladder to her kidney was short. So that resulted in her constantly getting UTIs and the urine and bacteria flowing back up into the kidney, which then resulted in blood infections. So that required many hospital visits and extended hospital stays. And also symptoms, or I guess side effects or symptoms of this is diarrhea, vomiting, fever, chills. It's all flu-like symptoms without the actual flu.
Yeah.
So it's very important that I always say, and I've told this to a couple people, when they feel like their child has a flu, but it's coming back negative, but they still have these flu-like symptoms, especially if it's a girl, to have them get checked for UTI, mm-hmm. because it could very well be a UTI. And so the first time this happened, it was very scary. I decided to stay home with her that day. She had a fever, but it was, you know, kind of on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed home with her from work, and she stayed home from daycare. And as the morning progressed, she was shaking. She was white. She was vomiting everywhere, like bile. She's 4 months old.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So with that being said, you know, being a newborn, there's lots of diaper changes, you know, the blowouts and all that comes with that. So a lot of clothing changes. So we were in the hospital for the first time. It was about a week we were there, and it just became cumbersome every time we had to change her, because she vomited from whether it was just spit up or vomit from being a newborn or vomit from the kidney reflux and what was happening, you know, from that medical issue alone, whatever it was a lot of changing of the clothes. So we would have mm-hmm. to call the nurse would have to come in, undo the IV. And now it doesn't seem like it's that much, but when you're in the moment as a mom to change your kid, you just want to change them. So yeah. I have to stand there and wait. And like that 5 minutes felt like 50.
Forever. Yeah.
Forever. So that just kind of like, I even said in the hospital in that moment, there has to be a better way to do this. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to call her. She doesn't have to come in, because then they have to, like, you know, sanitize it and the whole bit. And I mean, it's a little bit of a process. Like, it's not right. big of a deal, but like, it kind of is. It's annoying. And
yeah.
if it's like every hour, it was like, oh, all right, call the nurse again. So that's when I sparked the idea. Like, there has to be something easier. So that was in 2019. She was 4 months old. It was about November timeframe. Well, as we all know, soon after that, COVID hit. And one of our good friends was diagnosed with leukemia. And that was probably like the summer of COVID-ish. So I'm going to say it was around June that she got diagnosed. If she's listening to this, she may correct me. But so around that time frame, that summer time frame, I had said, there's got to be a way to make this easier for her. She was posting her journey on social media. And so I followed her journey. I'm there to support her. And I said, there's got to be a better way. She would have her arm, like a sweater, but her arm would be hanging out like this and, you know, the chessboard. And so she'd just be sitting there. And it's such an uncomfortable experience to begin with. Like, hey, you gotta sit there like that. And I just thought to myself, there has to be a better way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, first child, she's a girl. I used to get all of Rylan's clothes embroidered.
Mm-hmm.
you know, get the R's, get the Rylan, all the embroidery. So I reached out to my embroidery lady, and she knew how to sew. And I asked her to sew two sweatshirts for our friend Amanda, who was going through leukemia. And at the time, her port was up in her chest.
Mm-hmm.
And right before I asked my embroidery lady, she had posted that her port got infected. So it moved to her arm.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, so I guess it could be in both spots. You know, you never know. So that sparked the idea of, okay, we're going to have the arm ports made. So I just had the arm ports made for these two sweatshirts for her. And she said they were the best thing, one of the best gifts that she got. She ranted and raved about how awesome it was. And it was so nice to see her sitting there getting treatment and just looked comfortable and mm-hmm. relaxed and not in that stiff position with her sweater pulled down or her sweater lifted up and over her arm.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, we all started to really turn then, right? So then, you know, I had people in my family diagnosed with diabetes. They needed dialysis. So then that, like, just blew another flame into the fire. Like, whoa, that's another one, dialysis. And then, of course, as I mentioned, I went through IVF and I was getting blood work constantly. And so I was like, I could really use one of those sweatshirts that I had made for Amanda.
Yeah.
for myself. So then that's when we sought out a patent lawyer and we started to think about getting it patented. But when it comes to fashion, getting something patented is really hard because we could have created it and patented it how we wanted. But if somebody else comes in with just a different button or a different zipper or even just any little thing, a stitch that's different, it's no longer ours, right? Okay. So it doesn't really protect us in any type of way. Mm-hmm. So we went through that for like a year and a half of the back and forth and doing research and all of those ideas. And with that came me like drawing an idea. And if you ever saw my drawing, it's terrible, not good at all, but it just got the point across, right? And then at the same time, simultaneously, my cousin's wife was starting a swimwear line. So I just reached out to her to be like, so I have this idea and I just need a manufacturer. Like,
right.
You're starting this. Like, what did you do? Where did you go? So I just started like pick her brain a little bit. And she gave me a ton of manufacturers to reach out to and gave me so much valuable information in terms of that piece of it. And so I started to just get on the line with those people overseas, manufacturers. And then that's when we started to do a lot of sampling. So I started sampling at first a ton of kids' things and also adults. And then we just came to the conclusion we need to choose one or the other. Right. So we ended up going with adults, just mainly because when you get into the kids and into the NICU babies and all of the needs that, that we researched, it gets really complex. So started with adults to just keep it easier on ourselves from a business perspective. Like, let's not go with the hardest thing at first.
Right. Started with B&M buildup.
Right. So then we said we need to choose. So we went with adults. And, you know, we continue to sample, and I'll get into this in a little bit, but we did a lot of back and forth and a lot of late night chats because they're overseas. So they're literally 12 hours and a time difference. So then we filed for our LLC. And so 3 years later, in October of 2023, we finally launched. We did it. We came up with a website. We had our first collection. Well, we had it ordered and had that in about July of 2023. But when we filed for LLC and got that paperwork underway, and we launched in October. And so we have the Terry collection. This is our first collection. This is awesome. Named after Ryan's mom, who passed away from gallbladder cancer. So that was when he was 8. So this kind of all comes a little full circle. And so we honored her in that way. This collection is a 3/4 zip. It's a sweatshirt that has a zipper in the chest area, as well as a zipper for access to the skin on the arms.
Wow. What an amazing journey. Like, that is just all out of like just love for other people, though, and like wanting them to have a better experience, which is just such an amazing thing. And I just can't wait for you guys to like blow up, because it's something that people need. And like you said, for comfort, it's just such an amazing thing. So how does Fortis and Haven differentiate itself from other clothing lines in the market, particularly in terms of addressing the needs of individuals undergoing specific medical treatment?
I love this question. So this is one of the main things that I thought of before we even got deep into anything. How am I going to be different from anybody else that's out there? So we are different than other clothing lines. There are a few, there are not many, but there are a couple other ones that do similar types of clothing. But we are different because we are not stopping here. This is just the beginning. We are not going to just offer a sweatshirt with the poor access on the chest and the arms. Our mission is finding strength and comfort. And ultimately, the goal is to provide comfort for all different types of medical treatment. So, for example, a GI tube shirt. Or a onesie for babies in the NICU. So we are hoping that eventually we will be a one-stop shop that people can come and find what they need during their medical treatment. And so with that being said, we've got a lot of things coming in the pipeline, and we've been sampling so many things to come. The goal next year is that we will hopefully get there.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see how it expands. So, you know, you do obviously want the comfort for everyone. Can you describe any specific features and design elements of your clothing line that prioritizes the comfort and accessibility during medical treatment?
Yeah. So for the Cherry Collection, like I said, we have a zipper. So this zipper is hidden. It's a dual zipper. So what that means is that, and I'll just describe the chest port, for example. So it, there's a dual zipper on each side. So you can zipper either both all the way down and just have it, you know, all the way down, or you can open it so it almost forms a hole in the middle. And so that's where the tubing would come out.
Okay.
So these are on both the chest and the arms. They're what we call hidden zippers. They're just the tinier zippers, so you can't really see them. And then they're the dual zippers as well. But this, again, allows for the tubing to go through. You can use this for chemo, dialysis, IV infusions, IV hydration. So whatever it might be that you want inserted directly through your shirt. The person doesn't even need to pull down. Like I was saying, Amanda would pull down her sweatshirt off her shoulder. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do that anymore. You don't have to lift up your shirt. You can literally just sit there, relax, let the nurses access your skin, and remain as comfortable as possible.
Yeah, that's awesome. What challenges did you encounter while developing Fortis and Haven, and how did you overcome them?
So, I mean, starting a business is just a bunch of challenges, but I think the biggest challenges was finding the right manufacturer, because it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money to find the right manufacturer, and then you have to start sampling. So also the fact that this is a custom made design, it's not something that anyone really just has sitting on their shelf that you can say, oh, you know, I'm going to take 100 of those. So the lead time is a little bit longer. So it doesn't happen as quickly as you'd like, hence why it's kind of taken us, you know, 3 years.
Right.
So that can become really frustrating and challenging. But after learning this, that the sample is going to be a little bit of a process, and understanding it's going to take some time, I started to begin to be a little bit proactive in other areas and get other things underway for starting a business, such as, you know, a Shippo account and a shipping label printer. So we can just go to the Shippo account, we can do the label, and we can mail it from our own home. Also, like social media, Instagram, Facebook, feel free to follow us. Our website, we have a website out there. You know, the LLC registration, of course, anything you do that involves like the federal government, it takes forever. So all of those little things that you don't really think about, and that are all kind of timely in themselves, were things that I was able to do. So I think my way of overcoming that challenge of being frustrated that this is taking so long, why is it taking so long? It was just, you know, finding the right manufacturer and understanding and realizing the circumstances of who you're working with. So I think that's why it was important to find the right person, because, you know, communication with them as well. And then just remain positive and proactive rather than just getting impatient and frustrated. So I definitely felt that in the beginning. But, you know, as you start to work through the kinks and you find other ways and to deal with it.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of people, I was talking about this yesterday with one of my guests, and just people are a little bit afraid to start. And like, for example, with you, if you would have just waited until everything was perfect, and then now you got to, and then you have to do all this other little stuff, like, you know, create the LLC or get the shipping thing, then you're like, it might seem like overwhelming. So it's kind of like, just start it. And then you have all this other stuff to do anyway, so you might as well check all those boxes while you're waiting for this box to be checked. And there's never a lack of things that I feel like you have to do. So I love that just went for it.
Always something. I feel like there's so many things that I don't even know what there is to do anymore.
That's all right. You'll get there. So you did talk a lot about like the, you know, you guys are starting with the adults, you want to get to the children. What is like your main goal to ensure that your clothing line meets the diverse needs of both the children and the adults?
So I think what I, the goal and what I do to ensure that we do meet those needs is research. And like I said earlier, that this is probably where it's benefited me later in life, mm-hmm. is that I've researched a lot of different needs for both adults and children. So like I said, the children, the NICU or adults, you know, there's the chemo, there's the IVF, IVF blood work, there's the IV infusions, there's the IV hydration, there's dialysis. So there's many different needs out there. And same for children, you know, the cancer, children, some children are on dialysis, there's the NICU babies, there's so much. And there's probably so much out there that I don't even know. Mm-hmm. So just trying to understand what the needs are that are out there. And then just started drawing up my ideas and sending them to manufacturers to create those samples that I thought would meet the needs. I'll tell you that some of the samples that I did were completely like, why did I do it like this? So as we started to get those samples, which is a lot for both the children and the adults, we started to donate those samples and okay. we would donate them to family and friends. I mean, just people we heard that were going through treatments. Unfortunately, it's more people than I'd like to say, but these people gave us real feedback and good feedback. Which we incorporated into our thinking and our design. So that just confirmed right there that there is a need. They would mm-hmm. use it and give us feedback, and it was good feedback. So after doing both the kids and the adults, like I said, the kids, I think, can get a little bit more complex, especially when you start to get into a onesie. So now
right.
you're talking like the entire head to toe, yeah. basically. So we started to choose one, which, like I said, we went with the adults. But we do yeah. recognize that there is a need for kids. So kids will be coming.
I wonder if you, I'm just like thinking, I wonder if you could get in contact with like CHOP in Philadelphia and see like if you could talk to someone about like their like analysis of what they, you know, what their highest needs are and kind of go with that.
Yeah, it's on the plan, the radar, mm-hmm. our goal. I think one of the other hard parts about this whole another challenge mm-hmm. is that we're both still working full time.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. like, oh, yeah. and it's only the two of us.
And your parents, you so, know, big deal.
yeah. But I mean, that's not been something we haven't talked about or discussed.
Yeah, but it is. It is definitely a, you know, something that you will just work on and get there. So one of the things that about the design process, you know, when you see all these, like, not that it's the same, but kind of like going to the hospital to go get your pregnancy gown or your hospital gown, it's not very aesthetically pleasing. So in your design process, like, how do you ensure that the clothes are both functional and aesthetically pleasing?
Research, and then I sent out my drawing, and it's just literally just sampling. So it's sampling, it's getting to know the fabric. So what kind of fabric is out there? Just kind of looking at like trends of what do people like? What's something that we can do that's not going to be like out of style, you know? Mm-hmm. So like a 3/4 zip. It's so simple, but it's nice. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like where we went with that. But, you know, it's really just sampling and making sure the manufacturer could do what you want them to do and getting the fabric right. So we're hoping that we come up with, you know, the best, most comfortable and cost effective product
yeah.
designed to meet, you know, those needs of people undergoing the medical treatment. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make it aesthetically pleasing. We're trying to be a little bit nicer than just the hospital gown, but,
right,
but we also don't want to be too trendy where it's something that's just in for a few, you know, year or two, and then it's yeah. out, you know,
yeah.
so we have to balance that.
So besides, you know, the eventual children's line, is there any other future plans or aspirations that you have for Fortis and Haven or Any initiatives on the horizon?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, we are not stopping here. We've got a lot of new product coming in on the pipeline, different items. The goal is to include all different medical needs, different accessories like hair wraps, medical needs like GI tubes, double mastectomy, recovery shirts. I'm doing shirts that may just include just a chest port, maybe shirts that just include arm ports. So looking at all different items and looking at the kids and getting into the more complex items with the onesies and, you know, looking at the onesies from a stance of metal versus, you know, Velcro and things like that. So a lot of stuff going on. But also aside from the product, one of the big things is that we are starting to market ourselves a little bit more. So we are looking into partner with nonprofit organizations, hospitals, gift shops, dialysis centers, IV infusion centers, IV hydration centers. In the next month, we will actually be attending two health events in the area. Somewhat locally, one is about 2 hours away, but somewhat local to us. So that'll be the first kind of big step launch, towards marketing. And so we've got a lot going on, and we're just looking forward to what our future holds at this point. So
so awesome. I love it. I love it so much. The one thing that I didn't ask, could you explain the significance of the name Fortis and Haven in the context of your brand?
Definitely. So it does hold a little bit of a meaning. Fortis and Haven. So Fortis, it came about because Fortis means strength in Latin and Haven means comfort. So our mission or our slogan is finding strength and comfort. And I think that's so fitting for this. So that's where we come up with the name Fortis and Haven.
I love it. It sounds like a good company name. Like it's a, it sounds good, and but you know, it has the meaning too. So I love all that kind of stuff, the marketing background of it.
Yeah, and it's weird, like, you know, my kids' names and my dog name, apparently, if you ask Ryan, has a meaning. So everybody's name has a meaning. So
yeah, I love that. So what advice would you give to other entrepreneurs looking to start a business aimed at maybe addressing unmet needs, whether it is in the medical industry or just in general?
So there are many times in this process that I've asked myself, what are you doing? Like, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of time. Like, seriously, Lens, what are you doing? Like, why? Like, you could have bought yourself so many Louis Vuitton bags, the amount of money you just spent on samples. What are you doing? But I didn't give up. I just kept going. And honestly, you really can't look at it from that perspective. You get those bags later, like when your idea comes to full fruition. So my advice is that if you have an idea, just do it. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what could be, should be, who said what. You know, you hear people talking, oh, I don't know about that. You know, you might get some funny faces from people when you explain to your idea to them, and you might hear that it's a great idea, but you just have to go with what you want and just don't give up. And no matter how many times or how hard it can feel and be in that moment of, what am I doing? Just keep going. You've got to do your research, though. You got to do your due diligence and understand your market and just keep going. And, you know, one thing my dad said when we did this, that if starting a business was easy, everyone would be doing it. So it's not easy. And keep moving forward.
And everything that you're doing is, it could be like world changing and life changing for so many people who are just in like, I feel like when you're in a scenario, you know, especially being in the hospital, it's like you already don't want to be there. You don't want to be getting all this stuff done. And now, oh, you have something comfortable. Like that is the basic needs of what people want. And the fact that this hasn't already been thought of is actually kind of like, how did nobody, like you said, like, how did nobody think of this before? And like, it's so necessary for people. They need it.
There is a need. And that's what we said, you know, if we can just be a sliver of someone's story in terms of just that little bit of positivity and making them feel, you know, that little bit of comfort in a hard time or during a hard time, That's all we would hope for, is just to alleviate some of that little bit of stress and discomfort. So
awesome.
Really hoping that we can continue to follow that mission and goal.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, I think that's probably a good place to stop. So, all right, that's going to bring us to the end of another episode of The Running Wine Mom. As we conclude this episode, Lindsay's dedication to empowering individuals through comfort and strength shines brightly. From Ryland's courageous battle to the expansion of Fortis and Haven's vision, Lindsay's journey embodies the transformative power of love, resilience, and innovation. Through her unwavering commitment to making a difference, Lindsay has not only created a clothing line, but a beacon of hope and support for countless individuals facing medical challenges. As we reflect on her remarkable story, we are reminded of the profound impact that one person's passion and determination can have in bringing comfort and solace to those in need. And as always, if you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing it. You can also follow me on Instagram at @therunningwinemom_. And Lindsay, where can the listeners find you?
Thank you so much for having me, Sam.
Thank you.
Viewers can find us on Instagram at Fortis and Haven, also on Facebook at Fortis and Haven. And then also they can check out our website, www.fortisandhaven.com.
Perfect. And I will link all of that. Thank you so much for joining us today. Yes. Remember, you are strong, you are capable, and you are all amazing. Until next time, keep running, keep sipping, and keep embracing the joy of motherhood. Cheers. And I'll be back next Tuesday.
Yay! Cheers.
Cheers.